Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks. We're checking in right now with Krista Carnes. She's our social media consultant. Good morning, Krista. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Looking forward to a new year.
Oh, I know. I know. You're so right. You're so, so right. And this morning, we're going to actually do kind of a two-parter. I did want to talk about cleaning out our social media before the new year or going into the new year. I think that's always a great topic every time we get to this time of the year. But before we dive into that, Krista, I saw something this morning on the news, and I just wanted to pick your brain on it. I know, again, you're a social media consultant. This isn't something that I'm not asking you from like a counselor point of view or anything like that. But I wanted to know if you could kind of touch on this a little bit. I was watching a national news story this morning that on TikTok, there are videos streaming everywhere being viewed 300 million or so times where kids, teenagers specifically, are self-diagnosing themselves with issues that they do not have. Things like bipolar disorder, depression, even disorders that I've never heard of before. And they're telling themselves, oh, because I match what TikTok is saying, I must have this. Have you heard anything about this?
Yes, I did. I did read an article. I believe it was the New York Times, talking about, some leading mental health authorities who, feel that this is a problem. And I think the overarching issue is that, the human race has never had access to so much information. Think about when you were a teenager and you had questions about the world. Like I still had to go to a library with encyclopedias, like it took a longer time for you to suss out information. And granted, some of us could talk to family members and some couldn't, and that has its own host of issues. But this is, I think social media and especially TikTok is ripe to take advantage of that teenage angst, that I don't know what the world is coming to the world, and add in sort of the collective trauma of this pandemic. And I think it's just kids are going to look for anything. And I don't know about you, but there's been definitely times where I've had weird pain somewhere. And people are like, don't Google it. Google is not a doctor, right? I think it's the exact same thing.
Mm.
But I think teenagers are real. All the research, and I have kids. My oldest is 13, so I have a lot of, friends who have kids in their teenage years and stuff. It's such a delicate time. So I do know people whose kids are struggling with mental health issues. A lot of them are finding advice from their healthcare providers that maybe it's time to take a break from the phone for a while.
It's kind of diabolical, Krista, if I'm being honest. I don't know who's creating these, but I saw some of the videos are made by fake therapists, and that they're taking very common things like, oh, if you constantly look for the color purple, that must mean that you're bipolar. Like, just the weirdest things. And of course, kids are going to believe it. Like, it's to me, it's diabolical. I think it's cruel. I think it's awful.
Well, and I think maybe if you say something to your kids, be like, listen, I just saw this, I heard about this article, this thing on the radio, or go try to find the article and use it as a reason. Like, by the way, if you ever have questions about something, I really hope you talk to me about it before you, because there's so much misinformation out there. It's just it's an opportunity to remind them how much misinformation is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there are some less than reputable people. On the flip side of that, and I feel obligated to put this perspective in, is, if you are trying to stay sober, if you have, if you have been diagnosed with something, and there are some positive resources on there too. There are people who are sharing positively what it's like to live with this and give people hope and, this is what I do and you are not alone. Like, all those really common, those things that people say really help is out there too. It's just a matter, I think teenagers are looking for confirmation, potentially, versus support, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, a support group, yep.
Yeah, you're not alone, and there are other online experiences to find support. If you have something you know, there's people all over the country, and there's some comfort in that. But so I think it's almost a difference of if you're struggling right now with a teenager who is having issues and doesn't know what it is, and you don't know, you're still trying to figure it out, and they're quite frankly unstable or something, I would really discourage the social media, because they know it better than you do, and you don't know what they're getting into. So, I mean, that's really easy for me to say, but
yeah,
it's scary, but there's so much access to so much out there, and it can be overwhelming on a good day.
It's so true. Oh my gosh, it's so true. We're talking to Krista Carnes this morning. She's our social media consultant. And we were talking about how teens are unfortunately self-diagnosing themselves based on TikTok videos. So it is, as you mentioned, Krista, I think it's something that is a reminder of two things. One, to have open communication with your kids. But also, two, like you said, you know, look at how the pandemic has rolled out and how, in some ways, great, people were learning information. Even kids were being informed about, you know, COVID because of platforms like TikTok. But at the same time, there's a lot of misinformation that gets tossed around on these social media platforms. That's very true.
Can I say one more thing,
Melissa? Please.
I also think, too, if your kid was supposed to come, it comes to you and says they learned something on, you know, I think rather than dismissing it out of hand, I think saying, wow, I'm curious why you were looking that up. I mean, there's a reason why kids say things, and be, you know, again, I'm going back to my Ted Lasso, but, you know, be curious and not judgmental, because there's a reason they went down that rabbit hole, right?
Right. And it's very true.
If they are bringing it to you, rather than say that's just all, you know, baloney, explore. And it could be for a friend, it could be for something else, and it will help you connect with them.
You know, Krista, I'm glad you said that, because when your kids come to you about something, we are very quick to, as human beings, just to judge it and to write it off and say, this isn't a big deal, you're looking into something. But instead, like you said, explore it. You know, say, can I see that video? Or, hey, what made you want to look that up? Or, oh, did you have a conversation with someone at school about this? I mean, I think you're right. I think when you are curious and you also show interest, you're going to tackle a problem that doesn't have to be a problem, which is if your kids, like I said, there are some out there who are self-diagnosing themselves with very, very serious things right now. And in the midst of the pandemic, with mental health being at an all-time high, you got to have those conversations with your kids. I think you're right.
Cool.
Yeah. I think you're right on the money. No, you're right on the money. As we head into a new year, let's do some cleaning out. Our social media consultant, Krista Carnes, is here this morning. So, Krista, switching gears, what do you suggest when it comes to cleaning up our profiles for a brand new year?
You know, I think it needs a bit of an audit to
an
begin
audit.
With. And I do think that there's something about this. There's something about this week in particular, right? There's a lot of people are off from work. You know, there's the sort of thrust of the holidays is over, and you know, it's a great time to just take a couple, you know, take an hour here, half hour there, and just, you know, again, it's a little bit like that KonMari method about cleaning your house. Like, do these people spark joy in your life? You know, like, start there. Like, do you like what you're seeing? Do you value what people are putting up? It's a very hard time of the year. We're coming off a hard time of the year because there's so much perfection being broadcast, right? Like, I shared a lot of lovely family photos, and I got a lot of love from my friends, and I don't send Christmas cards. So like that was, you know, there is joy in it, but if it doesn't bring you joy, or if it's particularly hard for you for any host of reasons, you know, prune it up, cut it out. You know what I mean? Like it. So sort of like look at what you have, but then it's also like clean out your camera roll. Right. So look, go through your photos, dump the things that, you know, so you're not scrolling and scrolling when you're looking for a specific photo. Again, I'm talking a lot about my own habits.
When you told me this the first time I met you, Krista, and we had you on this show, and you said to take time to, that is something I do not even just once a year. I do it probably once a quarter, where I go through and I think, okay, how did I go from, you know, 600 photos to now 1,200? Like, what happened there? And I clear out, and it does make you feel better. And it really does, actually. So, no, I love that piece of advice. And I think if people are honest, most people have too many photos, I think.
Well, and listen, anytime somebody texts you a photo, a lot of times the phones are defaulted to have you add that to your thing.
Yes.
Every screenshot, every time you take a photo of a password of love. Right. You know, it just stacks up. And a lot of times, at least a lot of people I know, like, and I do this as well, is, you know, I'll take 6 or 7 pictures of the pose and then not dump the, I might even star the best one, but I don't dump the old ones.
Right.
And I don't know if, you know, I don't know if that's just because I grew up when you had to print photos and it was like, it felt awful to actually throw a physical picture away, but no, get rid of it. It's all, you know what I mean?
It's there. It's gonna be
okay. I think it's also a good time of year to learn what your device can do for you. You know, I mean, if you are savvy a little bit with the phone or you want to become more savvy, look up the apps that you have. Is there something you're missing? Are there features of your phone, especially if you've gotten like a new device? What can it do? Because they make improvements that they don't necessarily... It doesn't come with a booklet all the time. So there are YouTube videos. Look up, you know, Google, search for your device and your current model and see what it could do. And don't feel pressure maybe to adopt a new habit. But if you find something that's going to save you time because there's a 1-step process for something that you're taking a 5-step process for, that might be worth it. But don't go crazy, right? Like it's just what, you know, think about what might make – where do you burn a lot of unnecessary energy with your social media or with your phone and stuff like that? And then see if there are solutions out there, because if you've experienced it, chances are somebody else has too.
Yeah, that's very
and
true.
There's lots of Googling on there too. So, and then, you know, I think the photos is a big deal. I think, you know, and this goes with your home computers too, clearing out the cookies, unsubscribing I don't know about you, but I subscribe to a whole lot of subscriptions for companies that I made Christmas purchases for that are,
the worst.
20% off, yes. And now I'm bombarded.
Yes, it's terrible,
but
actually.
There are apps out there that will, there's one called Unroll Me, unroll.me. I'm not affiliated, but
I'm writing it down.
It will
though.
Go through
unroll.me.
And help you massively unsubscribe from lists.
I'm literally doing that after the show today. I can't wait.
Okay. And it might take you an hour, but it will save you infinite amounts of time. And it's not foolproof, but just keep at it. It will do it. And if I think it's worth it, you can even upgrade and pay for a little bit and you get even more of the service. And it's fantastic.
That's amazing. That sounds amazing. Unroll.me.
Yeah, take the pressure off.
I love that. And like Krista said, look, if something doesn't bring you joy, I just had this conversation with my husband last week. He said, you know, I don't think I want Facebook anymore. I don't really use it. I get notifications and I don't really care. I don't engage on it. And he's like, I think I'm going to delete it. Will that upset you? And I said, do I seem like the kind of person who'd be upset that you delete your Facebook page? Like, if you don't want it, then get rid of it. Just get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing too, Krista, I know we've run out of time, but if you want to deactivate it, a lot of times you're able to reactivate it if you change your mind, like in the next year, right? Can't you reactivate it?
Sure. Yeah. You could just, like, honestly, just deleting the app from your phone and your computer, like, you just don't have to go there.
There you go. Yeah.
But I think you also get a sense of how attached you are. Like, are you signing in with Facebook versus an email address and an independent password? You know, I mean, you start to see the web. And if taking a break helps you identify that, then more the better.
That's great. That is great. Well, Krista, where can people find you if they want to connect with you or follow you on social media?
You know, right now I actually got hacked on Twitter and I can't get my regular Twitter handle back.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Like, somebody took it. You know, again, it's been a big lesson for me. So Krista@KristaCarnes.com is my email. I am at Krista Carnes on Instagram. I have a private account, but if somebody wants to follow me, I don't post too much there. But I'm working with Twitter to try to get my handle back.
Oh no, Krista, I'm so sorry. Look, I understand. My Facebook was hacked last year, and I have not had a professional page in over a year. So I get it. It's brutal. I hope it comes back very soon, though. I hope that they fix that for you.
I do, too. Otherwise, I'll just start a new one. I mean, in some ways, it gives me an opportunity to start from scratch.
There you go. So. That's very true. Krista Carnes, always appreciate you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Congrats on 107.3.
Hey, thank you. Yes, we've expanded to FM as well. Yes, yes, we have. Thank you for noting that. I appreciate you. Krista Carnes, everyone, our social media consultant here on WICC. And Krista will stay with us into the new year as well. Don't you worry. She's not going anywhere.
Family, relationships, and personal growth. Professional counselor Julius Dudix is here to help.
Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
Our morning show counselor Julius Dudix is diving into something we've all been guilty of, and maybe we still are in our adult years, and that's procrastination. I remember Julius being in high school and saying, I am currently living in procrastination nation. And all my friends would say, what does that even mean? And I'm like, I don't know. It just means I don't want to do my work. Good morning, Julius. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me on. Yeah. Yeah, procrastination is something that gets a lot of people, and it kind of becomes a pattern of behavior, especially for students. And students often procrastinate because they get a project. You don't really see how relevant or important it is, and you don't understand the material. You just don't know how to get started. It's an issue of motivation, confidence, and comprehension for students. But you look at a task, and it just is overwhelming. And or you can even take a housewife, or you can take a your own home, you know, putting away Christmas gifts, you know, looking at the tree, taking down the tree. You know, why do we procrastinate? You know, mm-hmm. What is it that causes us to just sit back and say, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And that's really the issue that we're wrestling with this morning.
Yeah. And I mean, why do people procrastinate? Is it an anxiety thing?
Many times it is. It's anxiety. Many times it's the issue of I'm just so tired. I am just emotionally, physically drained, especially after the holidays. So you got to cut yourself some slack and just rest and just refocus and retool, because people tend to be so hard on themselves. And that's where the negative internal dialogue kicks in. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting down, and you know, you're just fatigued after the holidays. So it's normal to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I've known people to have their Christmas tree up in February or March, and that's not that's a little bit out of the range. And so there are reasons why people procrastinate, and probably perfectionism is one of the major reasons. Fear of failure, fear of criticism, low self-esteem. Trouble focusing, decision fatigue. There's just a lack of energy.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is you're training your brain to be the kind of either a student or a person that you want to be, and you want to be the best version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of people that just are caught in that cycle.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, Julius, what's interesting is you brought up being a perfectionist, and I tend to find myself I find myself falling in that category often. And a lot of that is because when I was raised, whether it was my teachers, my parents, whoever, you know, you're taught to do things at the best of your ability. You know, don't do things, you know, in a half fashion, do it as best you can. And I think sometimes that can be misinterpreted, that with everything in life, you know, sometimes it's okay to chip away at something, even if you can't give it 100%. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. And the way that, you know, where does perfectionism come from? When parents look at a child and the child brings home the report card and there's, you know, five A's and there's one C or one B, most parents focus on the B or the C and say, oh, gee, you know, what happened there? As opposed to celebrating, you know, the good that was going on. So that drive to be perfect, that drive to get it right all the time, is just not. It's your own thinking toward it that causes the anxiety and the stress. Because nobody's perfect. And Melissa, whenever we compare ourselves to people, we either have an overinflated view of ourselves or an underinflated view of ourselves. And so we're our own best critics sometimes.
Talking about procrastination. So here's the big question, Julius. We struggle with it. Many of us do. Maybe we did in the past or we do currently. So how do we start to break down the cycle of procrastinating?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, number one, I would say take a step back and get yourself organized. Get organized. You're more likely to procrastinate if you don't have a set plan or idea for completing whatever work you want to do. So get organized. Get your environment organized. Eliminate distractions, whatever distractions are out there that prevent you from moving forward. Set a short priority list. Set goals. And even when it comes to students, as I've dealt with over the years, who have difficulty, I've got to study for that history test, but I can't. Do it in short bursts. Do it in 20-minute bursts. Melissa, I found that when you study in short bursts, you retain more information. And the reason is because I'm going to read 10 numbers to you. And the numbers are 1-4-5-7-6-8-3-2-5. What was the first number?
One.
What was the last number?
I don't know.
Okay.
Wait, usually, why?
It's because usually people remember the first and the last.
Oh.
You don't remember the middle.
I remember 1-4-5-7-6.
Okay. See, so that was the first. But my point is that sometimes students will study for 3 straight hours.
Yeah.
And there's only one first and one last. The way the brain works is that you remember the first and last. You don't remember that middle. And so your brain kind of goes sleepy and it comes back up again. That's just a quick, you know, in terms of procrastination when it comes to studying, that students have found over the years that have helped them. But you want to set short-range goals. You want to reward yourself and hold yourself accountable. And bring, if you really have a trouble procrastinating, cleaning the house, whatever it is, involve some friends. Get that network going. But there's also a 5-minute rule that I know behavioral therapists have used, and that is where you set a goal, whatever it is, and you just do it for 5 minutes. And if after 5 minutes it's so horrible, you have to stop, you're free to do so. But typically it's getting started that is the big issue. So that 5-minute goal, some people say 3 minutes or 2 minutes, but going for a run becomes getting out my running shoes and putting them on kind of thing. You just start small.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, and honestly, with your procrastination test, I just feel like maybe I'm not procrastinating. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'm proud of myself because you never know. I don't think I do anymore. I used to. Oh, gosh, did I used to? But I don't really anymore. But it's, you know, I think, Julius, what you're kind of saying is this is something that takes training. You have to really want to overcome this. And it's not something that's going to happen overnight.
No, it's not. You've got to develop that network of people that can hold you accountable, and you've got to really desire to change. And it, you know, it kind of spills into, it could spill into hoarding in terms of the house. And I know I should clean this room. I should clean that room. Melissa, I had a guy 1 year, and his goal, his homework was to come back to therapy session and just have some of the junk mail. And just, I want you to throw out some junk mail. He picked up a solicitation from an electric company. He threw it out, went back, sat down, and then he started going through other mail. But then he got up and he picked up that solicitation from the electric company and said, well, gee, maybe I might use this. Gee, maybe I can save some money. It's all the issue of really training yourself to shed some of the junk in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's a great goal for 2022.
That's
a whole other topic, that hoarding issue.
Yeah, well, maybe we chat about that next week, Julius. I think that's a really good topic, especially starting off the new year. That's very true.
Oh boy, yeah, we all are hoarders to a certain degree, but there's an uneasiness about hoarding. When I ever ask a client, can you take a picture, or can I come to your house and visit? And they say, no. Well, can you take a picture? And then I see the picture. Boy, I tell you, you get used to it, and it just it becomes a plague for you. You can't get through it.
True. Well, Julius, I think this is such a great topic. You know, we didn't even get to dive into like rewarding yourself if you make progress, letting go of perfectionism. There's so much more that people can dive into, and it connects to people in different ways. So can people reach out to you personally?
Sure. It's you can make an appointment at the office, 203-243-7714. Or you can read about me on Facebook or LinkedIn or www.barkbark.com. I've got a profile there.
All right. Well, Julius Dudix, we so appreciate having you on this morning. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you next week.
Happy New Year, Melissa. Thank you for all you do. Have a good day.
Thanks, Julius. You too. I tell you, holiday weeks totally messed me up, and I apologize for the mix-up. Mayor Mark Loretti is here, actually. The Shelton mayor is here this morning. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, Mayor Loretti. Thanks for stopping by.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. Happy Hanukkah and whatever else.
There you go.
It's been kind of a different week. I was listening to some of your commentary about the two people that were killed in Seymour that live in Shelton. You know, I did go to the funeral. They were it was a sad commentary. It was a sad event. And, you know, it's, you know, you probably don't know this, but 20 years ago, the same thing happened to my father in downtown Shelton on the 4th of July.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that, Mayor Loretti. I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, it was over 20 years ago. And so, you know, things like this, you know, they stay in your mind and you kind of dwell on it, especially when it happens to other people in the community that you know. And, you know, these two individuals were incredible people. They were involved in the church. They were lectors on Sunday Mass. And, you know, just sad that these things happen. But it happens. It happens a lot more than we know.
Yeah, you're right. So. Unfortunately, you're absolutely right. And I mean, the only thing, like I said, I can be grateful for, if that's even appropriate to say in such a horrible situation, is that the stars kind of aligned. A tipster got to police in time, who got a warrant in time, who got to the airport in time to find the person they feel is responsible. And they feel very strongly that this is the person responsible. So at least it gives some kind of small, very small closure to the family, because I think it would have been a stronger burn if he had gotten away. That would just be even more horrific. If it could get more horrific, I think it would have been.
Yeah, there's no question. It was great police work, and you know, people were, you could tell that they were very committed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mayor Loretti, you know, not to shift gears to something a little bit lighter, but I thought this was a very interesting headline, and I was hoping you could maybe explain it to me a little bit more, just because I'm a little confused by it. So Derby and Shelton forever and always have had their Thanksgiving matchup. We're talking about high school football here. And this big announcement yesterday in a joint statement that the schools are no longer going to do this annual commitment because it's not in the best interest of either team. But it looks like Shelton's still going to play. It's just they're going to be playing Xavier next year, apparently. So what do you have any insight into this?
Well, I just have a lot of history. You know, the unfortunate thing is that Derby High School has no longer become competitive, and I understand that. It's sad to see what happened there in Derby, but this is a trend across Connecticut. Student enrollment is down everywhere. You know, I have this discussion with a lot of people about the Shelton school system, although, you know, we're in a different place. Our student enrollment is down by 1,500 kids over the last 12 years. That's not insignificant. That's a lot.
Right.
You know, Derby High School, I mean, they graduate 65 kids. It's very hard to be competitive in athletics when you have such a small population.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm disappointed in it, but look, I understand it because this is what's going on in Connecticut today. You know, we used to get 10, 15, 20,000 people at the Derby Shelton football game.
Right. That's why I thought it was kind of shocking. Yeah.
It was amazing. It was such a rivalry. But, you know, like I said, it's a sign of the times. And, you know, hard times have fallen on other sports too, in other Connecticut cities and towns.
No question.
You know, even in the inner cities, when, you know, I used to coach basketball at Central High School in Bridgeport for 10 years in another life. And, you know, the competition and the level of a play down there was incredible today, and it's dropped off dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
It's disappointing to see that, but kids are distracted. There's not as many of them. They're doing other things. They're not as involved in sports as they used to be.
Interesting.
There's a whole different dynamic going here. It's you know, I don't know when the trend will change or reverse itself, but you know, it's something that I've followed for years, and you know, being in my position, very close to what's going on in education, and it's a big shift in things.
Yeah, it really is. We're talking to Shelton Mayor Mark Loretti. Mayor Loretti, I know that this was a big announcement yesterday afternoon. It does sound like Governor Lamont is going to be working directly with municipalities. Do you have any insight, because you happen to be the only local leader coming on the show today after this announcement, so I figured let me ask you, any insight into how they're going to distribute these N95 masks and these at-home COVID test kits? Have you guys gotten any indication how that's going to happen? Because we are getting a lot of calls from people wondering how they can get their hands on these things.
Well, our emergency management director is going to lead the effort to do distribution. We're going to probably do it with some of our fire personnel. We're going to stage different locations around the city. particularly at the schools, and just pass them out, is what our discussion was yesterday. And I think that's probably, look, if you want to get something done locally, you're going to use local people. You know, the state and federal government are just not equipped, and they're not good at doing things like this. So you need local people,
right?
And to be able to get to the masses, and you know, that's what you do.
Okay.
I even said to our emergency management director, I said, you know, don't forget we're having our fireworks on Friday night. You know, that might be a good opportunity to do a distribution if necessary.
But yeah.
I think things will go fast.
Yeah. Oh, I think so too. I mean, the only thing that I'm curious about, which I was hoping that Governor Lamont, I could check in with him, but it won't be till next week, is I'm wondering how do we make sure people aren't getting like duplicates or triple things like that. How do we assure that? But I'm not sure. I guess we'll find out later on this week.
Yeah, I think that's pretty difficult. But if my intuition is that the stuff will go fast, then it'll be very difficult for that to happen.
Well, Mayor Mark Loretti, we so appreciate you coming on this morning. Thank you so much. Sorry for the mix-up, but we will talk in the new year.
Yes, we will. Happy New Year's.
Looking forward to it. You too, my friend.